The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now we're going to preview all the big sporting action this weekend, and I'm joined by Eoin Shehan from Off the Ball. Hello, Eoin.
Hey, Claire.
You're going to start with the match tonight, aren't you? The rugby match.
Indeed, yes. Ireland versus Wales this evening. Kind of one of those fixtures that comes with a strange sense of unpredictability regarding preview, because it feels that the script is that Ireland should win this comfortably.
It does and feel like that.
I'd always just be a little bit reluctant to go there, particularly given the fact that if you zoom out from the England game, you do get patchy form from Ireland. It's easy to get wrapped up in the joy of Twickenham 2 weeks ago, and no doubt they'll take loads of confidence from that. But let's not call that form just yet. That was one great day. I think it's fantastic that Andy Farrell has unearthed some new players. There's been greater depth developed throughout the Six Nations. But I think depth in any Irish sports team just comes with a cautionary tale that we just need to see this over a prolonged period of time before we can say, right, there's 23 to 30 excellent players here. There is still injury problems in certain parts of the pitch. That front row in particular is still a concern for me. So I'm never 100% sure that things are going to be as easy as they make out. However, Ireland will win tonight. Just not sure that, what is it, 20-something points seems to be the spread. I'm just not entirely convinced that's going to be the outcome.
I wasn't convinced that you were going to get to that point, actually. I thought you were going to be even more cautious about it. But we'll take your optimism and put it to Gordon Darcy, who's on the line. Gordon, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks a million for having me. Yeah, all very good.
What do you think of what Eoin had to say there? That, like, we should be really cautious going into this, but we're probably going to win.
Geez, you need to check his last there. I think it looks very half empty. Half empty.
He's very, giving us the win.
Very downtrodden. Yeah, but he's put with loads of caveats. I think what has happened with the Irish team is, like, one of the things we can't do that we've never been able to do, which England and France and a lot of other teams, they can just make 9 changes or 10 changes. We've never been able to do that as a team. And I think what Andy Farrell has done over the course of November and across the first 3 games in the Six Nations is started to create a bit of competition for places. So you can call it rotation, you can call the players being dropped, you can play players being given an opportunity. I think he's done that more than he has done in any of his previous, bar at the start when he came in and just had to get new players in. So you look at James Kim Park not starting against Italy. You look at Jack Rowley coming in against England, Stu McCluskey, like the names go on, Nick Timoney, all of these players that are being given opportunities have all been rewarded with them. So I'd agree with Eoin that the form has been somewhat patchy, but I would say it's definitely trending in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
In a match like this, you're playing at home. I think there are players, to kind of tie that in, I think players are getting a lot of their opportunity now. And there are some players playing with a lot of form. Stu McCluskey's been brilliant. Balakun has been very good. Osborne has been very good when he's come in. Caelan Tavares has found a new bit of form. James Ryan. So there is enough quality there for Ireland, I think, to be comfortable enough in this. What you would like to see, I think that's, I've got to go with the glass half full, is you'd like to see a continuation of that attacking appetite that they had in Twickenham.
Oh, and your glass is half full. It is. Come on.
Well, just on
I'm only teasing that one.
Yeah, no, I know for sure. I think maybe I'm kind of speaking as a man stung by what happened in Cardiff last year. And Ireland went there similarly, you know, favoured. It was supposed to be a walk in the park for Ireland. Gordon, you know better than anybody. And I've read so many ex-players say this, that there is no such thing as a walk in the park in the Six Nations. So that's kind of what I'm couching this all in, that we saw that in full flow last year, admittedly in Cardiff. Dublin on a Friday night is a completely different prospect. The other thing, Gordon, I'd be interested in your take on this, is just that England were favoured at Twickenham, obviously, and Ireland being able to base their game plan on being the underdog, I think suited them last week. They did a magnificent job, don't get me wrong. But I'm kind of looking back to that Italy game 2 games ago and Ireland having the impetus in the game, control of the game. How do you think they handled that tonight when they're expected to have more territory, more possession?
Stating the obvious, I think they're going to handle it an awful lot better than they did against Italy, because I think they have the confidence coming from Twickenham, but also this, in inverted commas, new game plan, a new approach that they're playing. They had a kind of a dry run in Twickenham, so they kind of know what's expected of them. The one thing I'd kind of caution is, if you imagine the Welsh camp after being so close to that victory against Scotland, and then finding a way to lose it in the last 10 minutes, or Scotland finding a way to win it. I've also been one of those players, been in that changing room where it's very hard to paint that up as anything other than what it was. They lost the match that they should have won. That could have been the catalyst for a bit of confidence. But imagine, you know, 2 weeks just mourning, or, you know, having to look at that going, oh God, now we're 22 losses. We're, you know, this could be 23. Where did my question would be to, you know, with Wales coming over, yeah, they'll be listening to all the media, and, you know, if that's what gets them up for it, fair play. But, you know, where do they get an in against Ireland? Ireland will need to do what England did, which is completely collapse for Wales to get a foot in the door. And then I would say, who knows? But I just think the dynamic has changed. I think everybody is playing for their test jersey. And that's a really good place to be in a team, in an environment that's led by Andy Farrell, by Caelan Doris, Paul O'Connell, all these guys. When people are fighting for positions, I think that's a good place, a good squad, a good place to be.
Yeah, like even despite all the Andy Farrell contract talk, even that feels light when he's facing the media the other day. I kind of thought, again, if you want to bring the glass half empty thing into this, could this be a distraction? Could this be something that kind of overtakes a week like this? But he's brushed it off. He's going to have talks with the IRFU in the not too distant future, as he said. And even that seems to be handled pretty well. It is amazing what one big win can do to just lighten the load on all those elements that are even out of their control.
Oh, it changes the whole dynamic. But the one thing they're missing is probably Mac Hansen to probably bring it up in a meeting and ask him when he's leaving Ireland. But I think that's the kind of thing. Like, I can only imagine, like, the guy's got a tattoo of Andy Farrell on his leg. It's unbelievable. But having that levity in a squad and being able to be cheeky with a coach and have a bit of crack with them, it's a great place to be. It means you're based, the environment is based on trust and respect. So I'm sure somebody has had a pop at him.
Gordon, there's a lovely picture of you in the Irish Independent today in your Lycra on the bike. And you'll be back.
Least flattering.
Well, look, it looks like you've done a bit of hard work. And I know it was really tough last year, wasn't it? But you're doing it again next week. This is the big cycle that you're doing, the fundraiser in memory of Dottie Weir. So back in the saddle for over 1,000 kilometres again.
Yeah, I got my maths right this year. Last year, I didn't really add it up. I thought it was about 700 or 800 kilometres, and it turned out to be about 1,050. And this year, we're closing in on over 1,200 kilometres in 4 days. So we're starting in Melrose in Scotland. We're bringing the match ball down through Leeds, Gloucester, over through Cardiff, over to Rosslare, and up to the Aviva. I'm presenting it. The RFU have been amazing, and allowing myself, Rob Wainwright, and Cathy Weir to present the match ball just before kickoff. It's going to be a very interesting 4 days.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do, but you need to train for something like that. Like, have you?
I have trained. I do a lot of cycling. I've got a watt bike in my side passage, and my kids can hear me whirring around in there most days a week. And I do a good bit of it. But a thing like this, we're not in a race. We have times that we have to keep to. It is endurance, and it's not just the endurance on the physical piece on the bike. You know, it'll be 12 to 16 hours on the day on the bikes, depending. It is actually just the mental endurance piece is probably the harder bit. Being comfortable, being uncomfortable, will be the mantra for the few days.
Listen, enjoy it if you can, and I hope it all goes well. That's Dottie's Triple Crown 2026. Gordon, thanks so much for being with us today, and we're all looking forward to tonight as well. Now, Owen, let's talk about the Premiership. Will be? I know there's no Premier League games this weekend, but we'll look back to what happened during the week. So Arsenal are now 7 points clear, as my Arsenal fan at home reminded me last night. He took me through all of the permutations. He's quietly confident, I would say, this 12-year-old.
And I think part of his confidence should be backed up by the fact that Manchester City are not the Manchester City of old. I think we've consistently expected this Pep team to come out and put together, you know, a 5-10 game winning streak, and they just don't seem capable of doing that. Them drawing at home to Nottingham Forest the other night was just as big a result for Arsenal as them winning at Brighton and Hove Albion. Now, Fabian Hertzler, the Brighton manager, came out afterwards and said that he will never manage a team that will play football like that, in reference to how Mikel Arteta set up his team. And I think the critics and all the fire that's being spouted against Arsenal at the moment is actually just driving this Arsenal team on. Arteta came out afterwards and said, what a surprise that Hertzler would say that. And it's siege mentality mode from Arsenal at this stage. They are strong favourites. They do have to go to Manchester City, but crucially, if Arsenal win all the rest of their games but lose at the Etihad Stadium, they will still be Premier League champions.
But the seasoned fans will be very wary of being optimistic about this.
Well, yes, because there has been, you know, over two decades of hurt, basically, as Arsenal fans. So that is what's created this strange atmosphere quite often at the Emirates, where it just feels pent up in nerves, over two decades of nerves. It could be an all-time season for Arsenal. They could win the Premier League, they could win the Champions League, but most importantly, Tottenham could get relegated. Right. Last night, they were beaten 3-1 by Crystal Palace at home. And this, for me, is the story of the week. I've never seen players get booed onto the pitch, but that's what happened at the start of the second half at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. They were 1-0 up through Dominic Solanke, and then it all turned very dramatically a couple of moments later when Mickey van de Ven was sent off, and it was a double jeopardy moment, and Crystal Palace scored a penalty to equalise, scored twice more before the break. And you just knew that Spurs weren't coming back into it. We've been speaking recently about Igor Tudor, the interim manager at Tottenham. And he's come in and he's just been shocked by what he's seen. He's like, this is way worse than I expected it to be. I just cannot get over how
really
bad
terrible.
This is. He's gone good cop after last night. He said, the boat is going in the direction that I wanted to go. So even he started to realise that these players cannot take the admonishment that's being put out there in public.
Yeah, I'm a softie. I feel really sorry for them if they're walking onto the pitch and they're being booed. But I'm just a softie. I think that's awful, especially because they're young lads. I know they're all paid very well, but that's really tough.
100%. And look, you've touched on it there. The obvious sort of response to that everybody uses, oh, they're paid so well. But I mean, it's a real life pressure situation. They feel pressure just like other human beings. But it's also such a new thing for these Tottenham fans. They haven't been relegated since 1977. They were in the Champions League final in 2019 and the Europa League final last year. And for them to be relegated, I think, would be the most astonishing relegation story ever in the Premier League. And I know Leeds, I know Newcastle have all been relegated. This would be the biggest Premier League era relegation ever. Mm-hmm. And it's not looking good for them. They're 1 point ahead of West Ham right now.
What are you looking forward to over the weekend then?
Well, we've got a live match commentary tonight in the League of Ireland. So Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City. That's a game you'll be able to hear live here on News Talk. Richie Towell alongside Stephen Doyle for that one. This is going to be Derry's first away game of the season. They've got out of jail with a couple of their games so far with some late goals. Rovers, of course, beaten by Bowes last week, so they'll be hoping to put in a much better performance tonight. In the hurling this weekend then, a couple of interesting fixtures. There's a real flavour of provincial championships about them, because you've got Galway going up against Kilkenny and Limerick going up against Cork and Waterford going up against Tip, all in Division 1A of the Hurling League. This could be the first of several matches between Limerick and Cork as this year develops. So they're first and second in Division 1A in the league. So they could play this game, they could play a league final. They're definitely going to play their Munster game in the league, and then they could possibly play a Munster final and then possibly meet each other later in the championship.
So it could be the beginning of a saga.
Yeah, and I love this rivalry. I know neither of them have won the All-Ireland over the last 2 years, but I think Cork and Limerick have served up the best games in the last 2 years. So I think they're the two favourites for the All-Ireland this year, no matter who you ask. I'm sure Tip people and Clare people and possibly Kilkenny people will say it's ridiculous that they haven't proved it by getting over the line in the last 2 years, but probably pound for pound at this stage of the year, they do look like the two best teams. Mm-hmm. So if this weather holds up, which it looks like it will all the way through till tomorrow, hopefully we'll get an early glimpse of summer hurling at the Gaelic Grounds.
Owen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Claire.
Owen Sheehan will be back with us on Monday. In the meantime, get your sporting fix from Off the Ball.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.